Welcome to Storytime by Chava. We are up to chapter 86 of the book Once Upon a Journey by Rabbi Zalman Ruderman, volume 2. This chapter is called Hirsch Surprises the Scholars. Before Hirsch had arrived in Sharia, the learned men had formed their own society. They considered themselves superior to their uneducated neighbors, whom they had almost nothing to do with, and they would often make fun of their neighbors' lack of education. How upset they were to discover that not only had some stranger turned up in town, but he was educating the simple folk and raising their self-esteem. What if Hirsch managed to turn all the simple men into Talmidei Chachamim? How would they, the learned men of Sharia, be any better than the rest of the town? Who would they poke fun of? Hirsch paid no attention to the angry stares the scholars threw his way. He continued to teach the simple men of Sharia in his quiet and humble fashion, one step at a time. Some learned quicker than others, but Hirsch made certain that no one remained in the same sorry state of ignorance in which he arrived. One day, something happened in the central base medrash that raised the anger of Sharia scholars to the point of explosion. Reb Shmuel the Parish had spent days struggling to solve a complicated problem in Gemara. Failing to find a solution, he had shared his problem with the other scholars and asked for their assistance. Soon, the entire Beis Medrash was filled with noise and excitement, with one scholar asking, another answering, a third proving him wrong, and so on. Each scholar was desperate to find the solution, and each tried to shout louder than the other. But in the end, none of them was able to completely solve the problem. After 4 days of heated debate, Hirsch suddenly turned up in the Beis Medrash. He did not usually daven there. He spent most of his time in Five Zalman's Beis Medrash. The scholars did not bother to greet him. They could not forgive him for coming to their town and turning everything upside down by teaching Torah to the simple people. Hirsch listened to the heated debate between the scholars as they struggled and failed to solve the question of Reb Shmuel the Parish. Hirsch, however, was familiar with this section of Gemara and knew it by heart. Thinking it over quickly in his head, it all seemed clear and understandable. "Would you mind sharing the problem that is bothering you?" he asked the scholars. They looked at him, some in surprise and others in anger. "There he goes again, mixing into matters that are none of his business," someone mumbled in disgust. Others, however, thought this was a wonderful opportunity to get back at Hirsch. "Listen," they whispered to each other, "we now have a chance to show everyone just how ignorant the man is. We will then have an easier time making him look like a fool." Hirsch listened carefully as they explained their difficulty. He then shrugged his shoulders and shook his head as if he could understand why there had been a problem. He began to explain the entire section of Gemara clearly and wonderfully, since he knew it by heart. To the surprise of all the scholars, they realized that there was, in fact, no question to begin with. It was as if all the complication and contradictions had been wiped away in one stroke. Hirsch finished his explanation and then left to take care of other matters. If he would have been able to hear the reaction of the scholars, he would have heard them angrily discussing Yellow Hirsch, the disrespectful name they had chosen for him because of the color of his beard. Their displeasure with his activities now turned to deep hatred. Meanwhile, Hirsch grew even more popular and beloved among the simple residents of Sharia. His friend Kerpel, the peddler, admired him to no end. With Hirsch's help, Kerpel had discovered that he too was able to learn like a scholar. He had a brilliant mind, although he had not realized it all these years, because no one had given him a chance to learn as Hirsch had done. Kerpel's dream had come true. He was now able to recite entire chapters of Torah and Tehillim as he trudged the roads from one village to the next, peddling his wares. At first, he simply reviewed the Shema and Amidah. After some time, he was able to review all of the davening from memory. Eventually, he became fluent in the entire book of Tehillim, the entire Chumash, and Pirkei Avos, and he was able to repeat it all from memory. As this transformation was taking place, Kerpel's business began to succeed and expand, and over time, he had grown wealthy. Karpel and his wife were certain that this blessing, too, came about because of their dear friend Hirsch. Although Karpel had faithfully paid his tax and given tzedakah before, now, at Hirsch's instruction, he was scrupulous to separate one-tenth of everything he earned and give it to tzedakah. Hirsch had explained the importance of taking miser with a story from the Medrash that is quoted by Tosfos in Maseches Tainis. There was once a man who was extremely careful to fulfill the mitzvah of miser. His field would sprout 1,000 kur each year, a huge quantity of produce. He was not at all bothered by giving a tenth of it away, and he did so joyfully throughout his life. He grew extremely wealthy from the produce he sold. Shortly before his passing, he told his son that the source of his great wealth was that he took care to give miser correctly. "You must also be careful with this mitzvah, my son," he said, "and I guarantee that you will see Hashem's blessings in your produce." During the first year after the man's passing, his son obeyed his father's instructions. The field produced its usual 1,000 kur, and the son separated 100, a tenth, as miser. However, it pained him greatly to lose 100 kur. He told himself that next year he would give less than a tenth as miser. To his astonishment, the field only produced 100 kur the following year. When his family heard about this, they dressed themselves in fine white clothes and came to him with great joy and happiness. "Why are you celebrating?" he wondered. "We could see that you caused yourself a great loss," they replied. "It is all because you wanted to keep some of the miser for yourself. You must realize that when you decide to give the appropriate amount, Hashem is like a kohen who receives the miser, while you are considered the owner of the produce. You give the kohen, meaning Hashem, the tenth that belongs to him, and in return, he allows you to keep your portion, the remaining 900. When you fail to do what is right, you turn everything upside down. As you can see for yourself, as soon as you decided to keep some of the kohen's portion for yourself, Hashem made you into the kohen, and he became the owner of the field. Hashem took away 900 kur and left you with just one-tenth. Karpel was impressed with the story, and he took the mitzvah of miser very seriously. He began to receive Hashem's blessing, and he grew wealthy. Each year, he would calculate the profits he had earned so that he could give the correct amount of miser to tzedakah. He would then hold a special suda in honor of the precious mitzvah of miser. Eventually, Karpel the peddler became a Talmud Chacham. He was also known throughout the town as a wealthy businessman who distributed his money generously. Not surprisingly, he was now considered one of the most important men in Sharia.